York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. Good afternoon. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this Wednesday, the 16th day of May, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and boys and girls, I was going to start with North Korea, but I'll tell you, I want to start with something else instead. At least make a mention of it, because I think this is a huge story, yet it's not getting reported. I haven't seen but minimal amount of media coverage on this story, and this is the story of a shooting that took place at a high school in Illinois, in Dixon, Illinois, about 100 miles west of Chicago. And not a peep. And I mean, shots were fired. And the story is a good guy with a gun stopped a bad guy with a gun. And yet there is almost no reporting of this. You have to dig deep in order to get to it. I mean, the Markle family is more important, is getting more coverage than this. So this is everything the opposite of Broward County. This is absolutely the opposite. This is textbook. This is what should be done and was done this morning in Dixon, Illinois. A school resource officer is being hailed as a hero after confronting a gunman at the high school this morning. And the reporting from Dixon, Illinois, is countless lives were saved. How many of these kids at this high school would have been shot and killed today if it wasn't for this one resource officer who was there? The officer encountered the 19-year-old former student. Sound familiar? Huh? It's exactly the same. So this 19-year-old former student shows up with a gun at Dixon High School around 8 a.m. this morning. Police chief said the suspect fired several shots near the school's West Gym. Luckily, he did not hit anybody. He's a bad shot, thank goodness. And so the officer hears the gunshots, and what did he do? He didn't run away. He didn't hide behind his car. He ran toward the gunshots and then confronted the shooter. So the suspect sees the police officer with his gun out, and what does he do? He runs. What does the school resource police officer do? Runs after him. So the gunman then realized that, this cop is chasing me, and I'm trying to run away because I'm a coward. So he turned around. He fired several shots toward the officer. Again, thank goodness he was a bad shot. The officer shot back. The officer was not a bad shot. He shot the guy. Suspect is alive. Arrested just west of the school, being treated for injuries at a hospital. No students or staff were injured, thanks to the actions of this officer. So the police chief of Dixon, Illinois, says, I could not be more proud of the police officer and the way he responded to the situation. With shots ringing out through the hallways of the school, he charged toward the suspect and confronted him head on. Because of his heroic actions, countless lives were saved. We are forever indebted to him for his service and his bravery. So the police chief also praised the response of students and staff who followed training by sheltering in place, barricading doors. All public schools were initially placed on lockdown, but only the high school remained locked down later Wednesday morning. Police chief said there's no further threat to the school. Police are confident the gunman acted alone. He said the names of the officer and the suspects are not being released. But now federal and state officials are on their way to the scene in Dixon. So we don't know the name of this officer, but this is exactly what you would think a police officer would do. I hate to make it news that a police officer did what they're supposed to do. I know this officer will probably say I was just doing my job. But to me, this just makes Broward County look even worse. And the guy who hid behind the car, as opposed to confronting the shooter. So it's exactly what you would expect. The only thing that is missing here is the kid did not put a gun to his head and kill himself. That's usually what they do. But he ran. The minute he was confronted by somebody with a gun, he ran away. He'd probably still be running if the officer hadn't run after him and shot him. So congratulations to this school resource officer in Dixon, Illinois. Don't know his name. But it's exactly the same circumstances. 19-year-old former student. So now they'll have to figure out. I mean, this is 100 miles west of Chicago. Chicago has very, very, very tight gun control. I don't know about the rest of Illinois, how tight it is there. Anyway, I wanted to make sure this made some media today. Because, I mean, you'll have to dig deep to find this story. But it's true. And it took place at 8 o'clock this morning in Dixon, Illinois. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Roy, Port St. Lucie, Florida. Hello, Roy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I wonder, and I'm all for this program, having officers in the schools. By far, that's a better system than what Broward County had in their system. My question is that, it's not 100% guaranteed, but by far, it's going to do the job most of the time. But had this failed and this kid got to shoot up other children and things like that, what would the news media on the liberal side do? They would run with it and say, see, your system doesn't work, therefore we have to get rid of all guns.
Yeah.
But I believe this system that this school that in Illinois did, it definitely works.
It all he had, he hightailed it the minute he saw a police officer with a gun. The minute he saw him, he took off. So,
and most cowards will do that.
Yes. So I mean, just the presence of an officer is all by itself will prevent some sort of mass casualties, and that's what this kid was. Thank goodness he was a lousy shot. But, I mean, that's the other thing. The officer has to hear the gunshots. The gunshots need to go first. Luckily, he didn't hit anybody, but he was shooting at kids near the gym's entrance. And
not only that, but look at the example it's going to set in the future. If other people think of this, I really believe a lot of people will think twice. There are those certain circumstances that, you know, you have those certain individuals, they don't care. But by far, most of them are going to think twice.
That's a good point, because after Broward, there may be a lot of sick kids out there who are going, oh, high schools are a shooting gallery. I can just do whatever I want. I'll be able to kill to my heart's content. This will be great. So now they start seeing stories like this and go, maybe it's not so easy.
And if it saves some lives in that process of people thinking twice, and by far it's well money spent.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll tell you. Let me ask you, did you hear this story before I said it? Have you heard this on the news today?
Nope. And I've been home today, and today's my day off, and yep. I've been listening to news, and I haven't heard anything.
Nope. It goes to the story about a good guy with a gun stopping a bad guy with a gun. We don't hear much about these stories. They really, because thankfully, no kids were killed. But I guess that's what the media has to, kind of has a blood list going. Well, unless there's X many children killed, it's not newsworthy. So,
in how many cases do we know that people who were thinking about doing that all of a sudden saw an officer just walked away?
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know.
That's right. We don't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I bet you there's some out there like that.
I'll bet you're right. All right. Hey, Roy, thank you. I do appreciate your call very much. Daniel, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Yeah. Good to hear from you. Good to hear from you. I just wanted to make a little point here, though. The prior incident where the officer hid behind the car, he was up against a guy who had an AK-47, didn't he? Isn't there a difference between a gun and a machine gun?
An AK-47, sir. AK-47 is not a machine gun, sir.
Okay, or whatever. Very high-powered rifle.
Right.
And just to have to get this guy with a gun, what kind of gun did he have?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't say.
That's a thing. I mean, being an officer, you don't want to go against a machine gun or not a machine gun, but AK-47.
Why not?
Is that automatic or is that semi-automatic?
Semi-automatic. You got to pull the trigger every time the bullet goes. So
that's pretty fast too.
Yeah.
So what's this guy, this new guy? You have a pistol or a rifle?
Don't know. We'll find out. I'll let you know when I find out. There's not much information about all of this. In fact, they don't even have the name of the police officer. They don't have the name of the shooter. He's an adult. He's 19 years of age. Don't know what kind of gun. By the way, did you know that pistols also can be purchased that are semi-automatic pistols?
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's bullets are bullets, and if they come out of a gun at you, they can kill you. So, to me, I get your point. I get your point, but a lot of people say AK-47s are scary guns. They're just rifles with attachments on them. That's all they are. They're just rifles. So, anyway, I do appreciate the call, but I got to hit the break here. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Don't have a lot of details here, but I just wanted to make sure that we all knew about a good guy with a gun stopping a bad guy with a gun. We'll be right back.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
All right, let's move on to North Korea, because as we were wrapping up the show last night, all of a sudden we get word that North Korea may be backing out of the big summit in Singapore coming up on June 12th. President this morning said North Korea has not directly raised concerns about the proposed summit. He said, we haven't been notified at all. We'll have to see. So it's North Korea's vice foreign minister and the top negotiator. He's the guy that put out a statement last night that was run by their state news agency, in which he said that North Korea felt repugnance toward National Security Advisor John Bolton and rejected a Libya model in which the country quickly surrenders its nuclear weapons. For those of you who don't know, Muammar Gaddafi was head of Libya, and we threatened him and said, you better turn those things in or we're coming after you. He turned in all his nuke weapons, not all of them, there was still a lot left over, but he said, okay, here's my nukes, here's the key to the nukes, I'm done, I'm out. And it was very shortly thereafter that the people of Libya killed him. So what the big negotiator, the vice foreign minister, said, if the U.S. is trying to drive us into a corner to force our unilateral nuclear abandonment, we will no longer be interested in such dialogue and cannot but reconsider our proceedings to the summit. He added that Trump risked becoming a more tragic and unsuccessful president than his predecessors if he did not accept North Korea as a nuclear power. Asked if he would continue to insist North Korea denuclearization, our president said yes. White House says it's planning for the landmark meeting. Sarah Huckabee Sanders says he'll be there, he'll be ready, we're ready to meet. And if it happens, that's great, but if it doesn't, we'll see what happens. If it doesn't, we'll continue the maximum pressure campaign that has been ongoing. So, I don't know what you make of this, but this is the top negotiator, and this is the thing that was so puzzling, was that all of a sudden, Kim Jong-un, who's threatening and threatening and threatening, and all of a sudden says, oh, I'd like to go to South Korea and meet on the DMZ line and shake hands and have a kumbaya and everybody with the South Korean leader. That'll be great, and we'll all shake hands and we'll step on each other's territory, and then we'll those hostages, here you go. You want your hostages back? No problem. So being extraordinarily conciliatory. Then the stories come out about the fact that it looks like maybe there was a nuke accident at their nuke testing site. And up until last night, they were saying, oh, yeah, we're going to stop nuclear testing. We're going to dismantle our nuclear testing facilities. I don't know if that was cover for the fact that they're blowing to bits and aren't useful anymore or whether they really wanted to, but it was shocking to see the 180 that Kim Jong-un did very quickly, literally over the last month or so. So I don't know how you were looking at it, but I was looking at it and going, when are they going to ask for something? Because they're giving, 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 giving. What's going on behind the scenes? We talked about this, I don't know, last week, and I remember one caller said, this is President Xi out of China, and he has laid down his marker and said, you are going to give up your nuke program. You're going to have a summit with the U.S. I don't want the U.S. in here, so you're going to be Mr. Friendly from now on. You hear me? I got the feeling he got the riot act read to him because he went home with his tail between his legs and was just Mr. Nice. So now, one of the things that we've always heard about Kim Jong-un is that they want to be part of the big boys in the world. They want to have their nukes and be part of the club, the nuclear club. So the top negotiator didn't get the word on being Mr. Nice. Tim Kai Gwan is his name. And he says, we reject the Libya model. Yeah, because the leader of Libya was killed by his people after giving up all of his nukes. So I don't know what you make of this, but the question this morning, this afternoon now, is will this meeting go on or who's going to blink? Will Kim call it off or will Trump? We'll be right back.
Time all the time with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, it is. And got a nice email from Tomas on at Sullivan Radio. Said North Korea is either negotiating with this no-show threat or there is some internal dissent in the NOCO boardroom. Stand by. Well, that brings up the question, Tomas, is his power being questioned? Are his people looking at him, his top people, his generals, and going, wait a minute, what are you doing? You've been telling us for years, your father, your grandfather, about how horrible America is, and we need to stand up to them, and we need our own nukes and everything else, and what are you doing? Because you got to admit, good old Kim has been bending over backwards trying to be Mr. Nice. So is this going to go or not? We are, what day is today? 16th. So we're 3.5 weeks away from this deal. That's a long time for all of a sudden North Korea to stand up and kind of push back. Donald Trump isn't used to people pulling a Trump on him, but that looks like what this is. And so all we get out of the president is we haven't been notified at all. We'll have to see. It's one of the things that Trump does when he likes to put a card up his sleeve and not show it, is we'll have to see. So at this point, I don't know if this is going to wind up with a... I mean, look at all the ceremonial things that they've already gone through. And the president ran out to Andrews the other morning at 3 a.m. in the morning to meet the hostages that were released. Everybody was acting like this was a done deal. Mission accomplished. Not exactly. Not yet. Maybe not ever. So Stephen Hayes from the Daily Caller says, North Korea saw how China was able to make Trump change his mind about ZTE, which I want to get into with you. So they think they may be able to get some concessions from Trump as well.
I think if you look at what the Chinese were able to extract from President Trump just in his public tweet on Sunday about ZTE getting him to reverse a Commerce Department ruling from last month, I think you see the North Koreans working closely with the Chinese look at that and say, well, boy, maybe it might be time for us to try to extract some concessions as well. There's no question that the United States was always intending to continue these exercises with the South Koreans. That was something that the South Korean ambassador said when this proposed summit was first announced. So there's no question here. This is definitely the North Koreans trying to make a little trouble and put some public pressure on Donald Trump.
That was one of the other things. They said, well, we don't like the fact that you're continuing your annual military exercises with the U.S. military in South Korea. All it is practicing an invasion. Well, yes, that's what they do. They've done it forever. And the other, it was a week or two ago, North Korea came out and said, we have no problems with that. That was when they were being Mr. Nice. They were being the good cop. Everything was great. You want to practice your military stuff? Okay, fine, go ahead. So back to Stephen Hayes, says Trump was maybe just a little too quick to claim victory in the pre-negotiation.
I thought the White House was too forward-leaning on its claims or its optimism about the summit. You had the president last week, in a sense, amplifying the suggestions that he could win the Nobel Peace Prize. You had him say that he expected a very big success on the heels of the return of the three detainees that the North Korea had. I think it's much wiser to temper our optimism and to point to 30 years of North Korean duplicity and North Korean failed promises. We know that obtaining nuclear weapons was the core project of the regime for really three decades. It's highly unlikely that the North Koreans are simply going to decide to give up and walk away from that program that they've sacrificed so much to obtain and has gotten them these face-to-face negotiations with the United States.
Yeah, I'm with Steve, because that was everything to them. That was their card. I was thinking, if they give that up, somebody must be, because Pompeo's been over there twice in the last month, and he comes back with smiles on his face, so everybody's thinking this thing is looks really good. They should have not held the meeting on June 12th. They said they were going to hold it in early May. They should have had it by now. Everybody said, oh, you need to take your time. No. Open negotiations are open troubles. Open contract negotiations always lead to more problems. Get it in there, get your deal done, and get out. Get the ink signed and dry. But that's not what they're doing. They've decided the diplomatic people want to sit around and I don't know, stare at their belly buttons or something for a while. I don't know what they were waiting for. They try to make it sound like, oh, this is a big international deal. No, you can cut to the main points pretty fast. Sit down and get your deal done. So this business about claiming victory a little early, I'm right with Stephen Hayes on that. And he says that North Korea's main objective is still they want to get the United States off the Korean Peninsula.
We know that that's an objective. I mean, what's been interesting is we've had news reports that President Trump is open to this, that he had at one point pushed this privately with his advisors. When James Mattis, defense secretary, was asked about this by a reporter, a pool reporter for covering the Pentagon just a couple weeks ago, he said that would be something that would be addressed in the negotiations. I certainly, for one, hope that that's not something that we would consider. That's something the North Koreans have long wanted. I think it would jeopardize the Korean Peninsula, and I think it could change the face of the U.S. geostrategic positioning in the region, if we even considered something like that.
I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that, about the fact that we keep our military in all these places. We still have bases in Japan. We still have bases in Germany. We still have bases, in Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Iraq. Wherever we go, we keep troops there. We have for generations. Since World War II, we still have bases from World War II that are still open. So I don't know. Do you want to keep a military base? Is it still the same today? I mean, we're talking about the 1940s. Now we have satellite communications, we've got satellite spying, we know what's going on. Do we really need to have all these bases around the world? So, A.B. Stoddard, who writes for Real Clear Politics, she said North Korea was never going to let Trump have all the leverage in the negotiations.
President Trump was saying, look, no one's ever even gotten us to this point before.
And he's right.
Right. But at one point, Kim Jong-un was going to at least try to get the upper hand again and not have the weaker hand. He knew about these military exercises. There was no development that caused him and his government to make the statement that they did overnight, saying, we're not going to be Libya, we're not going to be Iraq. This was almost looks like it was planned. It's a bump along the path to raise the stakes, to inject some tension, and to try to get some leverage again. And pointedly at South Korea, he knows he has in President Moon, a president who came in wanting a relationship with North Korea. He has in President Trump someone who wants a deal. I think it's not at all surprising that he was going to behave like his father and grandfather. Remember that the meetings he's already gotten with Mike Pompeo are historic and unprecedented. And the end game for the North Koreans is just even to have the summit in and of itself. The idea that they would just completely denuclearize has always seemed a stretch.
Well, so I don't know what you make of this. Things were going swimmingly our way. I mean, to the point where I was surprised. I don't know about you, but I mean, we got the dismantling of their nuclear test site. We said no more testing. Then we're taking it apart. We're going to dismantle it. We got our U.S. prisoners back. He was fine with the military exercises. So what happened? And if you were a betting person, would you bet that this thing is going to go, or is it going to fall apart? 855-295-6600.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
And I think it's going to be a long, long time. The touchdown brings me round and get to find.
Let's sing along. You ready? Rocket Man is back. Thank goodness. I thought we'd had to put Elton John in the basket somewhere. We weren't going to use it again. Rocket Man was losing his bad name. He was Mr. Good Guy. All of a sudden, he's back to, at least his vice foreign minister is the guy who says that he feels repugnance toward John Bolton. Well, there's a lot of lefties in our country that feel that way. And he rejected the Libya model. I mean, if you think about the Libya model, I mean, what apparently is haunting North Korea, Bloomberg's reporting, that North Korea watched on in caution and then horror as the Libyan leader accepted a U.S. deal to dismantle his nuclear regime in return for sanctions relief, because it turned out there was no lifetime guarantee. He was killed by NATO-backed rebels, with images of his bloodied body going viral around the world. And so North Korea saw all that, and they went, what do you mean the Libya model? What are you talking about? I don't want to be dragged out of Pyongyang in a bloody bag. Interesting. 855-295-6600. Denny, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Why couldn't President Trump and Secretary Mattis pull the troops out of South Korea and re-energize them towards our southern border? They're there. They're already getting paid. They have to go somewhere.
Yes. The problem with that U.S. border talk is posse comitatus. We cannot use our military to enforce laws in our country. So that is a big no-no. That's why the National Guard that have been sent are run by governors. They're not federal troops. And they also are not actively participating in rounding up any people coming across the border. They're in the office so the Border Patrol can get out. So that's one thing. But about what to do with the troops in South Korea? You want to keep them there? We've kept troops in lots of countries around the world. You think it's worthy?
I don't think it's worthy myself. I'm a 30-year veteran. I was stationed in Germany back in the 80s when the wall came down.
Well, then you know.
Without
knowing where you were stationed, it was probably a Kasern, right? Which was an old German army base. Right?
It was.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, we took over their military bases and moved in U.S. troops. And they're still there. Some have been sent home, but I don't know. That's another whole show, I guess. But I wonder, too, about having troops all stationed all around the world. I don't know if it's 1940s, you know, strategy. I don't know if we need that today.
I don't think we do need it, and I think they should tweak a little bit of that law requiring the federal troops not to be stationed there, and just go ahead and have them in a support role, not necessarily arresting or doing anything with the laws with the Americans. So deterrent.
Well, when we're talking about immigration, the dirty little secret there, Denny, is nobody really wants to do anything about it. That's why nothing's being done. Come on, it's not that hard to solve, is it? But nobody's doing anything. Why? Because there are people from the left and from the right, Democrats and Republicans, that are getting advantages from illegals. And so please, please, please don't shut down that. I mean, they'll never say it, but it's obvious to me. This is something that should be easily handled, but it's not, because they don't want to handle it.
Yeah, it seems like every time a decision has to be made, it's an election year.
Yeah. No, they're not going to do anything about that part. All right. Hey, Denny, thank you. Let's talk to Frank. Hello, Frank. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hello.
Hi.
You know, the reason why we have bases all over the world is because most of those bases have nuclear power. And we're in the process of surrounding Russia. We already got them surrounded on their Western Front through NATO, and now we want to do the same on their Chinese side. Of course, you know, and when we establish Korea, South Korea, there's a huge nuclear force there. The Seventh Fleet is a huge, huge nuclear force. That's based in Japan. Now, if Russia eventually is antagonized enough to go to war, they'll have to strike all those bases around the world first, the ones that are closest to them. And they'll at the same time, they'll hit the U.S., but they'll have to strike those bases first. It's just like you have two guys coming at you. One guy is, 5 feet away, and the other one is down the block. You have, by necessity, you got to take care of the guy nearest to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a strategy. That's a military strategy. And that's why we're trying. That's why we're trying to get into Vietnam, and that's we want a toehold.
That was right. I mean, it was they wanted to be Vietnam to be our friend because of the fact we needed it for a strategic location. Well, we don't have it as a strategic location yet. We're still. I don't know, in today's hypersonic planes that they're developing and missiles that fly, out to outer space and come back in again. I get your point. I understand the strategy. I just wonder at what point do we need. I don't think we have as many bases as we had 30 years, 40 years ago. But do you want the troops, our troops to stay? Is that a deal breaker? If we're trying to get to be friends with North Korea, I'll tell you what I think has been going on is somebody's been talking to North Korea. Trump's been doing the businessman thing and saying, "Hey, Kim, you want to be a wealthy guy like you've never been wealthy before? Why don't you work with us and we will help you with your economy and you will become very rich out of this whole thing." And he went, "Yeah, that sounds good to me." That's what I'm thinking is I'm following the money, not the military. But all of a sudden,
yeah, that's really what you're right. I think that's really what turns these leaders, like the leaders of Japan and South Korea, to allow these nuclear forces to come in. And they must know that they're going to be a prime target. But the leaders, of course, we'll never find out about the money. But yeah, it's the money, the power.
Yep.
And, that's
what he wants.
That, that's probably the...
Yeah, he wants the power, but will he give up the nukes? And so we still have 3.5 weeks before the summit. A lot can happen between now and then, obviously.